I'm going to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," which are the words right at the back of the church. And I've asked Kiri to speak today because of something that happened on Maundy Thursday in this church. And I think it's really important that we hear about what happened. Kiri offered to speak, well, sort of offered, to speak about it.
With a bit of pressure.
Her arm is a little bit behind her back. But please listen very carefully to what Kiri has to say.
Hello. If I stand here, can everyone hear me?
I'll turn you up a bit.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So, at Easter, something happened that changed me forever, and I asked God how best he could use my life to bring him glory, and right here in this church he gave me the clearest answer I've ever had in my life. It wasn't what I was expecting, and it definitely wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I took a leap of faith and the outcome was truly transformational. It's really difficult to tell this story without a bit of context, so I'll start by going right back to the beginning of my faith. I've been a Christian for a long time. I grew up in a Christian family. I've always believed in God. As a teenager, my rebellious spirit seemed to lead me further and further away from him. I was 19 and in a pretty dark place when I returned and came to faith. Something at the back of my mind was telling me that it didn't have to be that way, that I didn't have to feel hopeless and alone. And as I walked to work one ordinary morning, I began to pray. I realised that I couldn't ignore God anymore because I knew in my heart of hearts that he was there listening to everything I had to say. So I told him everything. At that point, my heart changed forever and my relationship with God became a real, interactive, two-way conversation. I was a new person in that very moment by the side of a canal halfway between home and work. It was a profound transformation in a very ordinary setting. And that was 15 years ago, and in the time since, I've been on a journey with highs and lows. I'm sure most of you relate to that. That's the nature of growing in faith. There have been times when I felt spiritually lost, and moments where God has made his presence abundantly clear. But throughout it all, I felt compelled to question what God wants me to do with my life. I've always had this sense that he has a very specific work for me to do, and that in order to discover what that work is, I just need to surrender to him and wait patiently on his guidance. In practice, I've been pretty rubbish at both of those, but thankfully he's forgiving. In the months leading up to Easter, that sense of being called by God grew stronger than ever. During the time that I was pregnant with Boaz and in the immediate aftermath, I struggled both mentally and spiritually. But through the grace of God, what was born out of that time of struggle was renewal, and rebirth even. I started meeting up with Ruth regularly to talk things through, and God miraculously transformed the way I was feeling. I went from struggle to awe and wonder in just a few months. And by the time I got to Holy Week, I was sure that God had something important to reveal to me, but I just didn't know what it was or how he was going to do that. Steve and I had planned that we'd both facilitate the other in going along to a service in Holy Week, whilst the other looked after the children. And our plan was that I would go to the Good Friday service and Steve would go to the Eucharist on the morning, Monday, Thursday. But that wasn't God's plan. He had a different one. Steve had been ill all week, and by the Thursday evening he was so bad that we ended up swapping. I really didn't want to go to the Monday, Thursday Eucharist, as I've always struggled with the concept of foot washing and consequently managed to avoid it till this point. But by then, I was really aware that God wanted me to go to that service, so reluctantly, I went. Throughout my walk to church, I found myself surrendering absolutely everything to God and praying that he would use me for his glory, that he'd show me how to use my life in the way that would most glorify him. When I got there, I sat a row behind everyone else, as I really didn't want to engage in conversation. I was grappling with the idea of having my feet washed. But one of the first lines of liturgy was, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." So I couldn't argue with God on that. I surrendered, and I agreed to do it. Throughout the service, the words not to be served but to serve were in my head. I just couldn't help feeling like I should be the one washing feet, not having them washed. That my purpose in life is to follow Jesus' example in sacrificing personal gain for the role of a servant, to spread the glory of God. A powerful and profound moment followed as Ruth washed my feet. It was a bizarrely humbling experience. I had to really force myself to go forward and allow it to happen. And I felt that God was pleased with me for doing so. I believed that through washing my feet, God was cleansing me in preparation for whatever he had to say next. When the service ended, people sat in silence for a few minutes and most of the lights were turned off. I found myself sitting in front of a candle on a tool stand. That candle, just there, I was sitting in the front row. And as I focused on its flame, I prayed. Gradually people left until I was the only one remaining. I guess that Ruth was probably out in the vestry as some of the lights were still on, but I felt alone. As I studied the flame of the candle, I thought about a passage from the Bible that's been significant to me throughout my life. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. I thought about the recent sudden death of my friend Millie. How life on this earth is here one minute and gone the next, sometimes in a flash. Millie was a shiny person. She radiated God's light out into the world, and when God had used her willingness to shine as much as he needed to, he took her home to be with him. I knew he was calling me to do the same, that he didn't want me to waste any more time hiding his light under a basket, but that he fully intends on using me to radiate it out into the world. I grappled with God, asking him to confirm exactly what he was saying to me, even though, in hindsight, I already knew. Then I simply prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit." The hair stood up on the back of my neck, and then my fingers and toes started tingling. I started shaking uncontrollably and shivering. A mixture of sheer elation and divine fear pulsated through me. This was involuntary and completely beyond my control, but I felt safe. I understood that the Holy Spirit was moving in me, and it was unquestionably clear to me that this is how God had chosen to answer my question to him, so I tried really hard to be open to what he had to say. This shaking and shivering went on for what seemed like ages, and despite really grappling with God, I still didn't understand exactly what he was asking of me. I started to fear being alone. I thought that Ruth must have gone home, otherwise surely she would have heard me by now and come to see what all the fuss was about. So, knowing that I needed someone to witness what was happening and hopefully explain what God was saying, I stood up thinking that I'd try to get home to Steve. Once I was standing, it was pretty clear that I was going nowhere until God said so. I stood up and I turned around and I saw Ruth sitting at the back of church, quietly observing all that was going on. The relief was immense. I think the words, "I'm so glad you're still here," tumbled out of my mouth as I fell back to my knees. Immediately she was with me, and she put her hands on my shoulders and she encouraged me as I doubled over, still shaking and struggling to breathe normally. At that point, I still felt completely safe and calm about what God was doing, but I was growing increasingly frustrated that I didn't understand what he was saying. So I grilled Ruth for answers, and she explained that by opening myself up to God, I'd enabled him to pour his spirit into me and simultaneously draw other stuff out. I don't really know how much time passed as I knelt on the floor with my head in my hands, but the next thing that I can remember Ruth saying to me is, "Stop fighting it, just let go." That was enough for me to realise how resistant I'd been until that point to avoiding the truth that God had put on my heart. the elephant in the room was on the tip of my tongue. And I found myself thinking, just say it. I think God's calling me to ordination, I blurted out. There was an immediate air of calm and the shaking and shivering gradually stopped. It was very, very clear to both me and Ruth that those were the words that God was waiting for me to say. In fact, Ruth wasn't even surprised, so that's just me then. For the 2 days following this amazing experience, fear completely consumed me. I was left in a state of complete awe and wonder at the clarity of God's message to me, but the thought of training for ordination terrified me. I am seemingly the least appropriate, most unequipped person to be considered for such an important job. I found it impossible to argue with God, as he made his will so abundantly clear, but I felt like he had it all wrong. I also found it very hard to accept that the rest of my life will almost certainly look quite drastically different to how I'd imagined. It dawned on me that by surrendering everything, that included my hopes and dreams for the future. And now it's up to God which of those are fulfilled and which aren't. All this comes with a caveat, of course. I'm well aware that God might not actually intend for me to get ordained, but it's very clear that he wants me to start exploring that process. Throughout Good Friday and Holy Saturday, these thoughts just played over and over in my head. I grappled, I prayed, I talked to the people I love, and I tried to process it. Then, on Easter Day, I woke up feeling like a completely new person. Don't get me wrong, I still have tons of questions and queries. I still fear the vulnerability I'll face in learning new skills. But the difference is that now I have a sense of peace about it. The peace that comes from knowing that God can do anything, and that he's faithful, and that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are equipped with all you truly need to carry out the work he has in store for you. I felt compelled to share this testimony with you this morning because I'm ordinary. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing different between me and you when it comes to hearing from God. We're all equipped to open ourselves up to his call on our lives. We all have the ability to do that, however great or small that call may be. It won't necessarily be so dramatic for everyone. I think God just knew that I needed a pow moment to get me where he wanted me to be, but it can and it will be just as clear and significant. As Ruth mentioned earlier, I don't know whether you've ever looked at the banner at the back that says, "Come Holy Spirit." It's the kind of thing you actually stop noticing after a while, but it's always there. God's Holy Spirit is always here in this church, moving amongst us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that just happens to a certain type of person. If you know God, you're filled with his Spirit. And if you allow yourself to be open to him, he will use you for his glory. It's not an easy thing to do. It makes you vulnerable, and it takes you to places way outside your comfort zone. And taking a leap of faith is exactly what it sounds like. It involves a leap and it involves faith, and both of those take guts. But God's not asking us to do that alone. If we trust him and surrender, he'll take us on the adventure of a lifetime, and even more importantly, he'll be able to use us to radiate his light out into the world.
So that's one story. And when I was sat at the back of the church, because I knew that I could sense that something was happening, I got up to go to Kiri, but I was not able to move. That wasn't the time that God needed me to move. The minute that she saw me, though, I was able to move. I can't explain that. That's a very odd thing to happen. Pentecost was a really odd day for the disciples, and I wonder how fearful they were. the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind, the fire, because it's a scary thing. It is a scary thing because it's God, it's the movement of God. But the important thing that I want, why I wanted Kiri to tell this story, is as an encouragement for us in this place in Gloucester at this time, that actually the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us and with us. And things like that happen in a place where prayer is offered. This is a church that is prayed in every single day of every single week, one way or another. And I believe that that opens us all up, individually and as a community of God's gathered people in this place, to the working of the Holy Spirit out into a world which is really troubled and pained. And so I want, perhaps over these next few weeks, for us really to think about, what is God calling me to, calling us into? As Kiri said, it might not be a pow moment for you. It's a gentler moment. Kiri needed a pow. She needed somebody to kick her into touch and go, it's this. Go and explore that and do this. But for some of us, it doesn't work like that. And that's fine too. God knows each of us and works in different ways. We're going to leave it there. I'm going to say thank you to Kiri for sharing, because it makes you very vulnerable to come and share something like that.